You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Abel's the first one actually mentioned here. It says the elders in the second verse. By it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. And then it talks about them in the third verse, about how they change their world or their age or fix their world. That's what the word actually means. Framed is fix or sets back right. Their world or age, aeons, was ages, not terra firma, dirt, but the age they lived in. By faith, so that things which seem were not made by things which do appear. And then it starts out Abel, Cain and Abel. And then it goes into the fifth verse. It says, by faith, Enoch. Everyone say Enoch. Was translated. In other words, he was taken up to heaven. You read the account of Enoch in Genesis 5, where it lists the descendants of Adam, you know, up to Noah. If you read that account, it says Enoch lived 365 years and was not, for God took him. Wow. Now everybody else, it says, they lived 930 years and died. They lived, you know, 890 years and died. They lived 910 years and died. Then it says, and Enoch lived 365 years and was not, for God took him. Woo! Man, taken up to heaven. One of two people up there alive right now that were taken alive up to heaven that never died. Elijah and Enoch. The only two people that never died went straight to heaven. I believe they will come back in Revelation chapter 11 as the two witnesses who stand before the throne of God. And they will come back to the earth and they will testify against the Antichrist. And of course they will be killed. And their bodies will lay in the street for 3.5 days. And the Spirit of God will enter them again. And they'll stand up on their feet. Woo! Hallelujah. And a voice from heaven will say, come up hither. And they'll be taken up into heaven in the presence of everyone seeing them, watching them live. Wow. But it says here, by faith Enoch was translated and did not see death. And was not found because God translated him, took him up. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, hallelujah. When you please God, things are always different. Not when you're pleasing man, not when man is your focus, but when God is your focus, and when he is the one you're trying to please and trying to do the right thing because he said it, everything's different. Amen? I heard one guy say, I think, you know, if we got an example right there with Enoch, we could just believe God. Why don't we just believe God and be translated? And I said, well, I guess you could if you live 365 years first. Are you out there? After 365 years, he was taken to heaven. So you can start now, and if you live that long, maybe you'll be translated. But he made God happy. Isn't he the one we want to make happy?
Yes.
I mean, he's the one you want to please and give respect. Sixth verse. I'm going to roll. I'm going to try to get a few more verses out tonight. I think every night, we've done this for several weeks now. I've gotten through one verse, I think. I got through two verses one week, and I got through one verse the next week, and I got through another verse last week. But I'm rolling. I'm going to get through some verses here. So he says he pleased God, and then he makes sure we understand what that means, pleasing God. The thing he's emphasizing and driving in and hammering in and chiseling in verse by verse by verse in this chapter, sixth verse, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Are you with me? Well, I'm a good person. Well, that's not the point. If you don't believe in God, you don't trust in God, you can't please God. Well, I'll just do a bunch of good stuff. Well, you do all the good stuff you want to, but if you don't trust God, if you don't believe in God, you can't please him. In fact, two guys can do the same thing, and one can please and one cannot please because one guy does it in faith and the other guy doesn't do it in faith. And if we're not cautious, many times we'll do things that we do as penance or do it as trying to earn God's favor. Are you with me? Instead of doing it because we trust God. It's not the thing we're doing per se that gets the favor and pleases God. It's the faith that we do it with. Hey, you know, Cain worked just as hard as Abel. Maybe harder. Working the ground's hard work. So as far as effort was concerned, he put more effort into it than Abel did. Are you with me? I mean, it may be debatable, but it's hard work. You ever farmed? You ever gardened? You ever done that? Oh, man, that's tough work. But God wasn't looking at how much work they put in it. He was looking at see if they trusted him and believed in him. And we've got to be the same way. If I just go to church enough. No, I tell you what, if you can go to church all your life, and if you don't trust God, if you don't trust in Jesus. This is not penance. I hope you're not trying to pay for your sins by coming on Wednesday nights. Hello. Are you out there? I got to go to church, man. I've been a bad girl this week. Been a bad boy this week. No, no. You ought to come to church because you trust God, because you love God. Because you want to get something from the Lord. You want to get in his presence. And you want to, you know, you want to shout. Whew. You want to hear from heaven. You want to get something that will change your life and everybody else's. And you know that God has what you need. And your faith and your trust is in him. That's why you come. Amen. 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 Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Didn't say it was hard. Didn't say there were other ways to please him. I can assure you there is no other way to please him. You say, well, what if I love people? Well, if you don't believe in God, your love won't get you any merit with God. If you don't believe in God, are you with me? Are you out there? Us giving food out to people, if we don't do that in faith, we don't do that because we truly want to obey God and help people because he says so, and we don't believe God's in it, then just giving the food's not going to get us on a debit credit list, you know, with the Lord. You have to do what you do because you trust the Lord. And you have to believe that no matter what it looks like, that God's going to take care of you. You go to work by faith, and if you lose that job and you trust in God, it doesn't matter, you'll get another one. Because your faith's not in the job, it's in God. You go to work because you're supposed to go to work, and a man ought to work, and a woman ought to work. Are you with me? And that's the right thing to do. And you work as unto the Lord, not as a man pleaser, but as a God pleaser, what the Bible says. Isn't that right? And so, you know, you get promotions, you get raises, and even if you get fired, well, you'll just get another one because your trust and your faith is not in the job, it's in the Lord. Woo! People get so disappointed in churches. They get disappointed in marriage. They get disappointed on jobs because their eyes are not on the Lord. You ever notice that? Church hurts some of the worst hurts. You know, somebody didn't like what the pastor said, or somebody didn't like what the elder said, Elder Brother Mo, you know. Or somebody didn't like what, you know, the song leader, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. You know, something happened in the class, didn't like what the way they treated my children, or they, you know, come on, man. I mean, you know, we got to work through things, and I understand that, but we go to church because we love God. That's right. And we don't, you know, we do address things. I mean, you can't just run from things. You got to address them. But there's always something, you know, that gets our focus off the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith and trust in him. Our eyes should be on Jesus. We ought to want to worship because we just love him so much. We ought to want to go to church because we want to be in his presence, and because he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, as the manner of some is, as you see that day approaching the end of time. The closer we get to the end, it's not as popular, it's not as faddish, it's not as convenient maybe to go to church as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Even more so as you see that day approaching. Why? He goes on. He says we ought to encourage one another so we can exhort one another, so we can lift one another, so we can help one another. We need each other. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we want to do that because God says that. And so our going to church is about trusting God. It's about believing God. It's not about building up points, you know, it's not a point system. Are you out there? Now, I believe that if you're believing God and trusting God, you do build up points. There's no question. But you have to do what you do trusting God. If I'm merciful to people, but I don't believe God, mercy's not going to help. But if I am believing God, then I'm merciful to people, then that mercy will build up on my account. Are you out there? Because you can give and not give in faith. You know, I quoted Malachi 3:10 earlier when we received the offering. You know, it starts out in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house and prove me now herewith. If I not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there will not be room to receive it. and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and you shall be called a delightsome lamb. But it goes on and says this, the next verse. It says, but your words have been stout against me. For you have said that the commandments and the ordinances of God do not work. That it's vain to do these things. Been bringing that tithe in and you hadn't been trusting him when you bring it in. Been complaining about it, how bad you got it, it's getting worse. You know, how you doing? I was better, but I got over it. You know, everything just bad, everything's negative. And I had it better before I got saved. But you keep bringing that tithe in. But see, there's no faith behind that. Hello? Your words have been stout against me. And we say, how have our words been stout against thee, O Lord? And he says, because thou hast said, the ordinances of God do not work. And he just got through talking about the tithe. Wow. So it's one thing to do the work of God, the works that are mentioned in the Bible, to obey God. But you know what? If you don't believe, if you don't have faith behind it, it's not acceptable. In that case, we see that plainly with Cain and Abel. One was in line with God's word and faith, did what God said. The other was unacceptable, even though it was hard work. It was unacceptable. And in Malachi's case, Malachi 3, there's offerings mentioned and blessings mentioned, but then there's the person that comes and doesn't believe when they do it. No trust, no faith. It's not acceptable. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Well, you know, I'm a good person. I love God. I go to church. Why is everybody always picking on me? Why is it not working out? How come I can't get my healing? How come I can't? You know, you start questioning all these things. Well, you better watch that. You better stop that kind of talk. That's negative talk. That's devil talk is what that is. That's doubt. That's unbelief. And that's the devil trying to get you off of serving God. Or if you can't get you from serving him, he's going to get you keep you from believing him. Are you with me? Well, you'll still go to church, but you won't believe him. You'll still read your Bible, but you're not really trusting him. Hello? Be very cautious, very, very conscious also of that fact, that this is about faith. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know, this Faith Hall of Fame, this lists lots of people, all Old Testament, but you know, we got a whole New Testament of faith people. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jairus came up to Jesus about his daughter. On his way to the house, his daughter died, and the people said, don't trouble the master any further. Jesus immediately, it says, as soon as he heard that, turned to him and said, fear not, only believe. And evidently he did, because Jesus walked right in the house and raised her from the dead. Faith people. Blind Bartimaeus. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. We got faith people all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People that came and believed and trusted him. And it's interesting also that when you follow Jesus on many occasions, he would just stop and ask them where they were in their faith. Like I just mentioned, you know, blind Bartimaeus, do you believe I'm able to do this? Well, what does that have to do with anything? Obviously, it has everything to do with it. What is it that you want me to do? Jesus asked another person. And they had to state it. Woo! And he would respond many cases, many times, you know, as you believe, so be it unto you. Your faith has made you whole. Wow. That pleases God. That connects with God. Amen? Without faith, is it impossible? It is impossible. Didn't say hard. It said it's impossible. You can't come to God and not believe him and expect him to move on your behalf. You must come to him believing that he will help you. It doesn't mean you're not hurting. It doesn't mean you're not crying. It doesn't mean you're not in pain. It doesn't mean that, you feel like whining, but you get to God, you're going to believe him and you're going to trust him. Hallelujah. I finally got to God. I'm going to get my answer. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name and I bring this before you. And you said in your word, thus and so, and I'm trusting you, Father. I ask in the name of Jesus that this comes to pass. And I want to thank you that it is done, that you will do it. I trust you, Lord. Faith's not to please man with, it's to please God with. Sometimes we're more concerned about our confession around people than we are the Lord. You ever notice that? Wouldn't make a bad confession around people. But boy, man, when that closet, you know, that wherever you pray, You get home, you're by yourself, you close that door, you hit your knees, and you're crying out, "Oh, God, help me." And yet you're making confessions of faith to everybody else. Are you with me? But that's not what faith is for. It's not for me to prove to you I'm believing. When I confess my faith, I ought to be doing that when I'm praying, when I'm talking to the Lord. Lord, I trust you. I know it looks bad, but your word says thus and so. And by your stripes I am healed. And I am healed. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I feel like. I believe your word. Notice he breaks it down. I like it when he breaks it down. Sixth verse. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Are you with me? Faith is believing that God is. And faith is coming to God. It's not just believing he exists. The devils believe and tremble. But it's actually coming to God. You know, well, I believe in God. Well, okay. When's the last time you prayed? Been years. You know, I mean, really, you talk to some people and they say, "Oh, yeah, I believe in God." You go to church? No, I haven't been to church in years and years. Read your Bible? No, but I do. I believe in God. Are you with me? Well, did you know the devils believe? That's what the scripture says. The devils believe. Are you kidding me? If you ask the devil, is there a God? Well, sure. They know there's a God. There's no question in their mind there's a God. They're just not serving him. They tremble. So it says he must believe that he is. He that comes to God. See, here's the difference. These men and women listed here came to God in their time of need and time of trouble. They ran to God. They called on God. They came to God. And they believed that he was, or they wouldn't come. Obviously, you have to believe in God, and you have to come to him. Faith is not just believing he exists, period. Faith believes he exists, and faith comes to him. Are you with me? And it doesn't stop there either. Faith doesn't just believe he is, and faith doesn't just come to him, but it says, and after this man or woman comes to him, believes in God, and comes to him, he believes that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So faith believes God is, it comes to God, and faith believes that God rewards us when we come to him. Hallelujah. So prayer is not a futile thing. It's not a pointless thing. It's not a vain thing. It's not a powerless thing. Prayer is a powerful thing when we believe. When we believe. And let me say this, and you have to kick it around, you know. I understand if you pray and pray and pray and pray, you'll stir yourself up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You stir yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 tells us that. But the context, if you look at prayer, is this. Prayer doesn't really make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. Well, if I just pray enough, I'll get an answer. Well, no, you can't pray enough to get it. Because Jesus talked about people that use vain repetition, and he thought by their much speaking, God would hear them. That if we just cry enough and holler enough and speak enough. No, you got to believe. You got to reach a point where you say, "God, I believe you." Quit the whining and the moaning and the groaning. Are you with me? And I whine and moan too, and you probably will too. But you know when the blubbering's over, okay? When you cried out and you moaned out and you groaned out, all right? You need to get in faith. You need to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to trust you for this. I'm coming to you in faith." And you got to plow through the pain. You got to plow through the hurt. You got to plow through the, "Oh, come on now, you get hurt. Everybody gets hurt." You know, somebody starts talking bad about you or hear somebody say something bad about you. It hurts, you know, and it affects you. It affects you right then. But that's when you got to get a hold of yourself. Are you out there? That's when you got to get a hold of yourself and, okay, start praying for that person. Let go of that thing. Don't let it get in you. Don't take on another man's sin. Are you out there? And then get in faith, start believing God, and then you'll be fine. It doesn't happen, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. But I'll tell you what, if you'll commit to it, if you'll commit to believing God and trusting God, you can overcome hurt, you can overcome pain, you can overcome sickness and disease and poverty and all kinds of things. You know, as a pastor, 31 years now, I've been pastoring. You know, people come and go, some for good reasons. They move, jobs, whatever. or start other churches. You know, Rance went to Greenville, started a church in Greenville, doing great over there. There's some legitimate reasons that people leave church. Then some people just leave mad for no reason. Sometimes they think they have a reason, and some people just leave, you know, just kind of fade away, not mad at all. But at any rate, as a minister, you know, it affects me when someone leaves for whatever reason. I obviously want them to leave on good terms and rejoice in that. When they leave mad, I go through a real self-examination every time. You know, I think, okay, what did I do? What did I say? Did I say anything? Did I do anything? And in many of those cases, I didn't do a thing. Sometimes it wasn't anything I did. Are you with me? But being human, there is that rejection. You still feel that. And you still feel that hurt. You know, you still feel like anger or bitterness or whatever comes up. And you have to pray. You have to pray. You have to pray and get through all that junk. Are you with me? Hello. And start reminding yourself why you do what you do. All of us do what we do to please God. That's why we do what we do. We're not going to make everybody happy, and sometimes just doesn't work out. I don't know why it doesn't work out. God's good. His word's true. Amen. But we've got to stay in faith. Because little things affect us, they'll come in and you start dwelling on them, and you get out of, the devil wants to get you out of focus and get out of faith, and you've got to stay in faith. Maybe you're believing for a healing, the pain's still there. You know, maybe you're believing for finances and the bills keep coming. Maybe you lost a job and you still ain't gotten one yet and still believing. Don't you quit believing. Don't you? No, you believe that God means what he says, and you keep trusting him to take care of that situation and meet that need. And don't get, see, that's the last thing you want to sacrifice and give up or throw out of the boat is your faith. You don't want to throw that out. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. When you stop trusting God, you're in trouble. I've even heard people say this over the years, maybe a long-term problem, long-term situation that they're believing, and I've heard them come and say, Pastor, I'm just tired of believing. I'm just so tired of believing. And I always stop them and I say, well, let's examine that. What do you want to do now? You want to start doubting God? You want to start from this day forward, we're going to have a quest to doubt God every day. No, you're wore down, but believing's not something you're tired of. Are you with me? It's not something you can just choose not to do. You have to keep believing. You have to keep your faith in God. You don't lose that. You're tired of the fight, the battle, and all those things, but hey, you keep confessing God's word. I don't want to say one day, okay, God, I'm tired of believing you. You know how insulting that is to someone? You ever walk up to someone, you know, I trust you a long time, but I'm done. I don't trust you anymore. Now, you may be hurting, and I understand that. I've been hurt too. But to say that, I can't shape my lips to say that. Are you out there? I can't. I remember when I interviewed Dodie. You know, Dodie had metastatic cancer of the liver. She got down to 89 pounds. Dodie Osteen, John Osteen's wife, Joel Osteen's dad, mama, Joel Osteen's mama. This is back in 1981, I think. And she had metastatic cancer of the liver. And the doctor said, gave her 2 weeks, said she wasn't going to make it. Told Brother Osteen, says, Brother Osteen, you're going to have to, we're going to check her out. You can take her home. There's nothing in the world we can do. And Brother Osteen said, well, we believe in miracles. And doctor said, Brother Osteen, you're going to need one. Brother Osteen says, we're going to get one. And took her home. And she 89 pounds. I mean, she couldn't. She was quoting scripture every day. Every day. Every day she's quoting scripture. And it didn't happen immediately. But she didn't die in 2 weeks. She didn't die in 3 or 4. She didn't die in 2 months. She didn't die in 2 years. She didn't die in 20 years. She didn't die in 30 years. She's alive today and prays for the sick at Lakewood every service. She was interviewed by 700 Club. At that time, Ben Kinslow was one of the co-hosts. You remember Ben Kinslow on the 700 Club? He was interviewing her about this miracle a few years later. And he said, Sister Dodie, did you ever ever get mad at God during all this time, thinking about your kids losing their mama and your husband losing his wife and the doctor telling you couldn't make it? And she looked at him. I never will forget this. She looked at him with like a calf looking at a new gate, you know. Eyes got real big. She says, "Get mad at God. Why would I get mad at God? He was my only hope." He was who I was holding on to. I thought it was so innocent and so true. And how the devil gets us mad at God when God's our only hope. God's trying to help us. God wants us to hold our faith. We don't want to quit believing. Are you kidding me? Man, I don't want to quit believing. He's the only hope I got. He's all I'm holding on to. I can't get mad at him. He's good. He's not behind all this junk and all this mess. He's not the author of it. He's the one who wants to get rid of it. Woo! Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if you're consistent and you're diligent, it may not be overnight, it may not be a year, I don't know, but what else you got to do? I got nothing better to do than believe God. In fact, my last breath, I'm going to be believing God. If it took 10 years or 20 years, 30, I don't know, I'm just believing God, I'm trusting God. I'm not concerned about all that. I am trusting God, I know God, he is good, and he will do what he says. Hallelujah. Are you out there? And can you say amen? And if it's worth trusting him for a day, it's worth trusting him for a year. And if it's worth trusting for a year, it's worth trusting him for 10 years. And if it's worth trusting for 10 years, it's worth trusting him for 30 years. And if it's worth trusting God for 30 years, it's worth trusting God for a lifetime. Why would we want to doubt God? Woo! So you say, how long am I going to have to believe? Till you get the answer, that's all. Till you get it. You get the answer when you pray. But the manifestation may be later. I don't know how long that is. But, you know, whatever it takes, I'm believing until I get it. And when it's manifest, I'll believe for something else. Amen. Are you still believing? Yep. Still believing. How long are you going to believe? Till I get that manifestation. I'm going to keep believing until I get it. I'm not going to quit till I get it. I'm in it to win it. Hallelujah. Well, face a God pleaser. Amen. And you got it, and I have it. We've been over that over the last few weeks. All of us have the measure of faith. We've all been the same faith that Peter had, like faith that Peter had, and the same spirit of faith that Paul talked about, you know, that according to it's written, I believe, therefore I have spoken, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Well, use it. Yes. Amen. You got it, use it. Put it to work. Start believing God.